One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for tuning into the show. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Just barely, though.
And Robert Timothy.
Woo! Dave, I woke up today vomiting water, which is the only thing I even had to, like, the only sustenance I had. You need to bring it. You need to get more energy in here. You have no excuse.
We're recording on a Sunday morning. This is not our usual gig.
So, by the way, if I wear sunglasses?
By the way, sorry to you guys. We had to record Sunday. I had a conference this week that I thought I was presenting. I was giving some a research paper on. I thought it was going to be on Sunday, but turns out they had me on a Saturday schedule. So I ended up having to jet up to Sacramento yesterday. So my apologies.
You're breaking my no work on Sunday rule.
Shomer Shabbos. It's not just Sunday. We lost a fucking hour of sleep last night. I thought we voted to do away with this bullshit.
I am excited that it's not going to be fucking dark at 4 p.m.
Yes,
anymore.
Yes, absolutely.
That causes, like, more people so much depression.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's still a thing. Is it to save candles still?
Yeah, it is one of those things where if you have, like, an indoor job and you go to work and it's dark and then you come out and it's dark, you're just like, well, why am I alive?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What's going on?
I used to have that job. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
me
such
too.
A drag, dude.
No,
oh,
yeah. You're driving home in the darkness. All of a sudden, you will feel like swallowing a bullet when you get home.
Yeah, for sure. No, seriously, Bobby, that was on the election in California. Did we not vote to?
I think what we voted is no nighttime at all. We voted sunlight the entire
I'm down
the entire
that.
24 hours. And now we're suing the sun. Like
Alaska, you know, in the summertime. Let's
you know what?
It.
When I found that was on the ballot, I was like, oh, cool. But then I found out, like, no, they're getting in part. They're getting rid of the part where it's like it's daylight earlier. We're voting to, like, keep it always dark.
We voted to put the Mr. Burns sun-blocking device up to keep the sun out for the rest of San Diego.
It was like Prop 8. No one understood it. They're like, yeah, that's going to be great.
Oh, shit.
So anyway, Dave, how was your week?
I had a rough week. I don't mind telling you guys. I want to tell you a couple things that happened to me this week and see if comics, as you guys, have had similar experiences.
All right.
First thing, I drove up to L.A. on Monday to go to it's a shitty drive it is. Go to the Comedy Store. It was a rare Monday where I had nothing to do all day or that evening. Usually I have a gig every Monday night, but I had it off. And I wanted to go to the Comedy Store, A, to see a bunch of my friends who are always up there, and two, to try to get on their show. They do, I don't know if you guys are familiar, they do
the potluck.
Yeah. Now, I had always thought potluck was like an all-night-long thing.
That's where you bring your own food to get stage time.
Yeah.
Bobby, please. But apparently potluck is the first hour. It's an open mic.
All right.
And then after that, it's called Friends and Family. And that's where they put up all the door guys and all the guy, the you know, friends of the club, stuff like that. I thought that whole thing was potluck. So I get up there, and it's like, oh, it's potluck is 6 to 7. A couple of the door guys are like, yeah, it's a random drawing. There's like a lot of people going to show up. So there's 16 spots.
Okay.
170 some people showed up.
What?
And people wonder why I never moved to LA to do comedy.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Ridiculous. Now, also, it's a 3-minute spot, which for me, that's like a joke.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not trying to big league it, but I'm like, that's why I don't do open mics. That's not enough time for me to work on something I want to work on.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm like, I don't even want to do this anymore.
You're right.
But I fucking drove all the way up there. The door guys may or may not help me out in the lottery.
Yeah.
So. And there's a lot of comics there that I know already. I'm talking to some friends, seeing some people, which is cool. So they release the list. They do the drawing. And all my friends are like, oh, dude, you got on. I'm like, you're very cool. So I go look at the list. Spot number one.
Damn.
Which we all know is terrible.
Right.
So that's not even something to be excited about.
No.
Like, not looking to get force in the mouth. Like, that's
people
shitty.
Are going to be sitting down and ordering drinks.
Ryan, I wish I was as lucky as what you had just said. Now at the Comedy Store. They open the doors to let people in at the same time as let the comics in.
Oh.
And this particular evening, I don't know if this is a regular occurrence, but this particular evening is about 7:04.
Okay.
So they open the doors. Yeah. The comics all just file into the room. Customers have to go and buy tickets.
Oh.
So I go in there. Host goes up. Couple of people come and sit down. Host just bullshits through his first couple minutes. He's like, all right, first comic. Dave Callens, you in here? I reluctantly raise my hand. He calls me up.
Dave does that thing where he picks up the hand of the guy next to him.
I go on stage to tell jokes to 8 people sitting in a straight line front row across the stage, and then maybe 15 or 20 comics off in the back corner.
Yeah, and whoever happens to be walking in at that time after purchasing a Bud Light.
Bobby, no one is walking in at that time. This is it. This is all I have.
Sometimes now, I wonder why clubs set so many people up to fail like that.
Yeah.
They're almost proud of it. Like, yeah, fuck that guy.
Exactly. Now, keep in mind, house lights are on for the entire hour.
Why? So, that's such an easy fix.
Right. So
Because it's easier to seat people?
I don't know. I have no idea.
No, it's their way of being like, fuck you. Fuck you. This is our way of screwing with you.
Yes. Now, you guys know I'm not good at riffing or crowd work because basically at this point you're talking to someone face to face.
Yeah.
So I try to do material. I got kind of a laugh from some of the comics in the back corner at one of the bits, but it was brutal.
Yeah.
It was, no exaggeration, the most brutal experience I've had in years.
Really?
Yeah. It was tough, dude. Ugh. Now, by the third comic, there were about 20 people sitting down.
Yeah.
By the time one of our friends, Joe Grillo, who also made the list, went up, there was about 40 people.
Yeah.
Great audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went up fucking first to nobody.
That sucks.
Now, I actually talked to one of the door guys, a friend of ours, afterwards. I was like, dude, why don't they let the customers in early? And Ryan, you were spot on. He told me it's like the club is basically saying fuck you to the first couple comics.
But why?
Why?
But why? It just seems so unnecessary.
Now, after that hour is over, they kill the house lights and they do the friends and family show to a semi-full room.
Yeah.
That's just such a fucking shitty experience.
Yeah. It's not uncommon to see new comics complain constantly because they're not familiar with what gatekeeping goes on in stand-up, what unnecessary hazing goes on.
Yeah.
For no reason. For no reason. That benefits them not at all.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing that has me questioning myself, is my standing with my friends as well. It's like, I know it's a lottery system, but I think they helped me out by getting me out, but then they also gave me spot number one.
Right.
So were they really helping me, or were they kind of telling me to go fuck myself?
They were probably telling you to go fuck yourself.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know who works the door at the comedy store. He was telling you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Oh, it was tough.
Oh, man. After that drive, too.
Yeah.
Did you do anything else while you were up there?
No, I hung out at the store for a couple hours. Like I said, saw a bunch of friends, a bunch of guys that I don't see that often. I got to pop into the main room, and I saw Tom Segura do 15 minutes.
That's cool.
It's great. His new stuff is amazing. But yeah, I just hung out for a little bit, then I came home.
Yeah.
Tail tucked between my legs.
Bobby, anything going on in your week?
I did Nerd Night, my first episode, so I'm taking that over
that's
now.
Always.
That's
always.
I was going to say, that's every night for you.
Woo, Nerd Night. Yeah, you guys, first Tuesday of every month, if you want to head out to 32 North Brewing at 6:30, I'm hosting Nerd Night, which is kind of like a TED Talk, but with beer and
is
slightly more interesting.
Is he plugging more shit on our podcast?
Yes, I am. Dave, you should get some shit to plug. You know, hey, if you guys want to see Dave open at the Comedy Store.
Cold open.
No people. Yeah, so... So it's pretty fun. They have local scientists who have done some interesting research. They come, they give 15-minute presentations. It's at a brewery. We all get drunk. There's trivia. It's a pretty
fun
time.
That sounds just terrible.
It's fantastic. And it actually fills up quite quickly. So it's the secret. I was going to say to Ryan, this is the secret to, if you're a comedian and you can't get time or you're just not that great, just find a niche enough audience. The science audience is so much easier to work with than your general audience. I'm not showing up to zero people and eight guys being walked in front of me with the house lights on. I showed up to this thing, which I got to...
You're going to find a bunch of people and you're going to wish there was zero people.
Yeah, right? I show up to this thing that thankfully has been set up before me and is a national event. And then these guys have taken over the San Diego version of it. And there was fucking 60 people just in there, standing room in the back, ready to actually have fun and listen to people. It was fantastic. So come on out to Nerd Night.
Here's why that's Tuesday. A shitty niche to go after.
It's a great niche.
I don't need some assholes fact-checking my jokes during my set, pushing his glasses up. The equator is fucking whatever, dude. It's a joke. Fuck off.
How many equator jokes do you have, Dave?
A lot. It's my next album.
You got a tight 1,500.
I honed it at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. It's solid.
I don't understand the Coriolis effect there. Does it go clockwise or counterclockwise? How does it work? So that show was awesome. Come on out to that next month. Those people are great because they're nerdy people. They love listening to fun jokes and actually laughing. And then I went to go to an even nerdier group of people this Saturday and went to our annual archaeology convention to deliver some
research. You're putting Ryan to sleep. Do you see this?
The best part about that is if you go to any kind of research conference, a formal research conference, people just sit up there and it's called delivering your paper. And people take it literally. There'll be people that they just stand up there and they read line by line what their academic paper is.
Because they're nerds. They're not public speakers.
Because they're total nerds. And everybody just sits there super bored. And so,
kind of like we are right now.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
So to captivate this audience, all you have to do is go up there and just be like, hey, I'm just going to tell you some stuff and point at pictures. I'm not going to read you word for word.
I'm going to blow you off the stage when I come up with an accordion.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to
just anything.
Prop science. He's doing prop
science. Oh, my God. I'm totally going to start doing prop science.
Oh, dude. Well, that's essentially what the eighth grade science teacher did, right?
Yeah.
They'd always freeze the rose and break it. And they'd go, ooh, science is fun. It's not.
Yeah, that guy come in with a thing of dry ice, and they're like, this is an archaeology conference. What are you doing? And I'm like, whoopsh.
Bobby does a thing where he like, takes his finger off, like a little magic trick.
No, it's great because you never feel so like such an inflated sense of crowd ego as going to a conference and delivering a paper while just speaking like a normal non-autistic human being. Because you get like standing ovations in the middle, and they're like, "Did you hear it? He put a joke in there. That's amazing. How'd he do that? He's talking about research."
Oh, so basically, you're cheating.
Yeah, totally.
At the end of your speech delivery, bring your wife on stage and kiss her. You will blow their fucking minds.
Oh, yeah. Like, she let him do it. He's not even paying her. I don't understand how this is working. It was funny, though, because I showed up. It's a four-day conference, but I just showed up like 1 a.m. Saturday and then left Saturday night. And when I showed up, it was right when they cleared the bar out. And what's interesting about nerd conferences is...
is nothing?
They rage way harder than you would think, like in terms of that. And there was just 90 people milling around outside the bar drunk and super angry that they had kicked them out at 1 a.m. And everybody, and people were like yelling.
Coming with a formula to get revenge.
Yeah. They were like yelling. They were like, at least give us some beer to go back to our rooms and party. And they were like, no, go to sleep. It's one.
I don't need to sleep. My circadian rhythm is not set up for this. Oh, shit. Now, Ryan, I know this wasn't this past week, but you had a fun Instagram experience.
Oh, right. Well, so first off, Stormy Daniels is going on a headlining comedy tour.
Which has really split the room on social media.
It has split the room in that there's...
there's dumb people on one side.
Right. There's everyone else, and then there's this group of supporters, and I've noticed they're either people that, like... have themselves failed at comedy. I noticed that 100% of the people that have stood up for Stormy Daniels headlining comedy tour tried comedy years and years ago and fucking failed miserably and quit and could not fucking hang. And now they're like, yes, do what I couldn't do. And then there's also a small niche of women going, yes, because feminism.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to support everything all women do
right.
to be a feminist.
Yes.
That's
not all women.
So anyway.
Hashtag not you too.
Yeah.
So I voiced my opinion about it on Instagram. Just I basically said what everyone else was saying, like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. And Stormy Daniels herself and her manager, her tour manager, who's a great fat neck bearded craft beer drinking hipster of sorts, failed musician. Yeah, they came at me. They came at me. She came at me with this great knee slapper. Maybe we should switch and you do porn and because you suck.
Well, that's actually
what she said. I checked.
That's a horrible threat to give to a guy. Like, yeah. Hey, maybe you should do porn. Okay. All right, sweet. When are we doing this? I have a 15-minute spot at Joe's Crab Shack later. You can take that.
Yeah, you take that.
Let me bang all the big titty chicks. All right.
Yeah.
Deal.
And then, her manager tried to come at me. And this guy, he is such a fame leech. It's embarrassing. He's a failed bass player, and he's been just like sponging off her. Like, I guess he's been her tour manager when she was like going to strip clubs to feature.
Which, you know, sidebar, do you think strippers get mad when porn stars come in and do a feature spot?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I would think so. Because someone mentioned that. I'm like, of course, strippers. It's the same thing. It's like someone who's not from that background coming in and basically using your thing as a backup plan.
Yeah, but it's at least related. In this case, it would be like if an improv person, I guess, was coming to do a stand-up tour.
No, what you're describing is an improv person doing porn.
There you go.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. Please suck on this.
Anyway, but you know what? The thing is that I think a lot of people are misguided in their love of Stormy Daniels because she did something to hurt Trump. So yeah. People are like, oh, she's on our side. Really, though, they're missing the part where she fucked that big orange monster because she thought it would get her a TV deal.
Yeah.
And she didn't fucking out him and drop a dime on him because it was the right thing to do. Or she saw some injustice happening and she wanted to take him down. She didn't get her fucking money.
Right.
He didn't hold up his end of the deal. That's the only reason.
Wait, didn't he? Didn't she get her money?
Eventually,
she did, yeah.
If that check had cleared the first time, she'd be wearing a fucking MAGA hat. She would be like going to the White House on
MAGA
the monthly.
Thong.
Yeah, yeah. She'd roll out a whole line of shit. She's no different than every other garbage person that like got screwed over by him and said, okay, well now I'm against him. But we don't love Cohen that way.
Well, here's what's interesting. The idea that you are going to suddenly come in and do a stand-up tour is A, wildly offensive, but also B, like, just bizarre. Who is setting this up for failure? Because what talent do you have to go up and do? Like, what are you doing? Are you going to go up and tell weird stories? Are you going to talk about your Trump story for 45 minutes?
I guess.
That'd be longer than the sex session itself. Like, you're going to go up and you're notorious for just being a porn star.
It's going to be knock, knock, audience, who's there? 55 guys that gangbang me. Let's go.
Mercy.
Well, people, her defenders, the idiots that were defending her, they were bringing up, they're like, hey, man, people weren't getting mad when Brendan Schaub became a headliner.
I saw that too.
And it's like, you know what he did? He went and did open mics literally
but
like four times.
People were getting mad. But also, sure, he wasn't just headlining right off the bat, so it was a completely different scenario.
Yeah, he's a guy who went, I want to try stand-up comedy. He started doing open mics like every other fucking person and grinded his ass off and did, he was doing like literally 5 or 6 shows a night. And yeah, he certainly made it someplace very fast because he had a name, but he also put in a shitload of work. I haven't heard a lot of people talking about Stormy doing a few bits over at like the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah, for 0 people on a Monday.
Yeah,
she got the first spot. No, that's one thing is when I was Brendan Schaub, the ex-UFC fighter, when he had Joe Rogan as a mentor, though.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was said when I was going back and forth with her fucking fat tour manager was he's like, several professional comedians have advised her to do this. I went, name one. He goes, I don't need to.
Ah!
He did like the second grade thing.
Yeah.
My girlfriend goes to a different school.
You wouldn't know her.
You wouldn't know her.
Yes. That's your opening to drop some names who could then back you up, and it would therefore legitimize your point.
No, I said tag them in.
Yeah, there is zero reason or incentive for you to not name those people in that instance.
Yeah, dude, when I said name some, I got a little nervous.
Yeah.
But, all of a sudden he like tags in Joe Rogan who starts roasting me. I'm fucking finished.
Right.
But like the thing was, I'm like, no professional comic would advise her to immediately start doing 45 minutes.
No!
And then book a tour where money's being spent to do so.
Disagree. I bet there are some comics who would tell her to do that. Absolutely. Because comics are fame whores too. And money. And like, if someone's like friends with her, like Joe Rogan, for some reason, likes Tony Hinchcliffe.
All right.
Dude's terrible. But that's what I'm saying. It's like because they're friends, like, oh yeah, you're great. Go do a Netflix special, do all this shit. So yeah, if someone's friends with her, then, oh yeah, fucking, you're hilarious. We talk all the time and what you make me laugh.
Well, they didn't have her best interest in mind.
Yeah, or if they're like, you know what? Actually, you should feature for me because they just want a nice palate cleanser in between the good opener.
Oh, man. You know, I know we don't talk about politics much in here, but it just blew my mind. Did you guys see the story where Trump was signing Bibles?
And boobs.
And boobs.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say about
fucking,
that.
Signing Bibles. What the actual fuck?
I want him to come. I want to see how far he can push it.
He has a book. Yeah.
I know.
Why didn't he just sign those?
Yeah, by the way, another book he didn't write. I think it'd be funny if.
Another book of fiction?
If like he decided to go really like Andy Kaufman or something on this and just start seeing how far he could push it without losing support. Like if he just announced at one of his like press conferences, by the way, I just wanted you guys all to know, I actually did indeed write the Bible. That was me. I did that. And just see how many people on the far right would be like, I guess we have to clap. It's
they
Trump.
They would
be
more enthusiastic than that. They would absolutely eat that shit up.
We have to keep clapping.
He should sign copies of If I Did It by OJ or something. Get really meta with that shit.
Didn't that book like not come out?
I think he
had to give all the money to
the ownership went to the families, the victims of the family, I think.
And also, I remember when it came out, like the title was If I Did It, but the if was in red and the I Did It was in white. And so people are like, Oh, he's kind of admitting to it.
No. That was what Goldman's father did. So the money had to go to the victims' families, and so did the rights to the book. So he wrote the book, If I Did It. The dad of the guy who got killed, he got the rights to the book and the rights to distribute it, so he made the if super, super small, yeah, and put I Did It with OJ. Yeah, I know. That was
burn!
And he threw a stink bomb at him.
I was like, I don't care. I still cut the people's heads off and got away with it.
Now he's out. That's what's weird.
God.
OJ's just roaming the streets. Like, that's a crazy thought.
He was out when he on the murder charges.
Yeah,
too.
but then we got smart and put him in jail on some armed robbery.
I don't like the deal where it's like, oh, we couldn't get you on this, so we're gonna give you life for taking your jersey back.
Yeah, he was strong arm robbery. He got a sentence that was applicable for a person who was suspected of murder, who then strong arm robbed somebody. That was totally legitimate.
And what did he get, like 10 years?
Something like that.
That's what he served, right? About 10?
I think something like that, yeah.
All right. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when you rob somebody with a gun, that's strong arm robbery. They can give you the top end of the sentence. There's nothing wrong with that.
The fuck is strong arm robbery compared to regular? Is it like if you can bench 225?
Yeah. No, you can rob somebody without necessarily using a gun or something like that. So if you use a weapon, it's usually.
Are you talking about mugging?
Dude, speaking of strong arm robbery, I get chills sometimes when I think of a huge mistake I almost made as like a young man. I was like 20.
Yeah.
So like, I still get chills to it. I grew up with this guy. We called him Baby's Daddy because this guy had no fucking luck. Every time he got laid, she'd get pregnant. And he has like, he's got like 5 kids with 5 different women. Wow. And he sees none of them. Doesn't pay any child support.
Do you ever just like walk up to him and just like put like 4 or 5 condoms in his hand and be like, just try them. Just try. I know you don't like them. Just try them.
Yeah, you'd really want to do that with this guy. And he like, he went to jail for his first, like every time he commits a crime, he gets caught. Like the goose got no luck. He's been to jail like 4 times. And so anyways, like I'd say this was like 2006. He had just gotten out of jail for like his second time. He got so drunk, he burglarized his ex-girlfriend's house, not realizing her grandmother was just sitting there in the living room watching him take shit out of the house. She's just sitting there in an armchair. He's so wasted, he didn't even see her. So anyways, he just got out of jail for that. Strong arm robbery. We go out drinking. My friend just got out of the Marines. He's driving. He's sitting shotgun. I'm in the back. And all of a sudden, like, we're in this part of Costa Mesa where it's kind of an unlit street. And we see this guy just walking by himself home. And we're all drunk. He goes, hey, let's roll up on that guy. Let's fucking, let's just roll up on him and take his shit. I'm like,
what?
And me, drunk, I was like, okay. I just went, okay. He's like, yeah, circle the block. We'll run up on him. I am now taking advice from a guy who's never gotten away with a crime in his life. He's
due for a win.
He's 19 and he just got out of jail for the second time. And this is our fucking crime boss over here. So luckily, we circled the block. We were going to do this.
And you look closely like, is that Tito Ortiz?
We circle the block, and the dude is gone. He went into his house. And like the next day, I woke up and got the pee shivers. Like, what did I almost do? That is serious time.
Wow.
That's serious fucking time.
Hey, not if you got away with it.
Because I'm with that fucking idiot.
Oh, shit. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and to this day, sometimes it occurs to me, I'm like, college would have been done.
Yeah.
I was in college at the time. That would have been over. Felony record. God, my life would have been completely different.
Yeah, I've had definitely a few experiences like that. And I've had a few, too, where you almost really jack somebody else. Did you ever have one where you almost hurt somebody else even worse? And this happened to me when a buddy of mine got into a very comical DUI crash. It was comical. So I'll give
a rubber chicken fly out the window when he hit the tree?
Did he roast the arresting officer for 20 minutes?
I wish. I'll give a brief background. My friend had an old shitty van. Like the sliding door was broken. You had to climb in through the front seats or through the back hatch. It smelled like vomit. It was just this horrible old shitty van.
So a spy van.
Yeah. It was actually the same model as my spy van. And we were hanging out outside McDonald's one day, and we saw them bringing, you know, the balls, like the fun balls that go into a ball pit.
Oh,
you know, that
really?
They have in the back of McDonald's.
I thought they got rid of those because it was like a huge like health hazard.
Yeah, maybe, but this was like 2000. So we saw somebody carrying out those like a big bag of those balls, and they were throwing them in the dumpster area. And we did some math real quick. We're like, well, they don't take those out every night, and we realized, holy shit, they're getting rid of the old fun ball pit. They must have gotten new fun balls in or something. They're getting rid of the old fun ball pit. let's get all of these fun balls and do something with them. That'll be awesome.
That'll really offset the vomit in this van.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought.
This van's a ball pit.
Don't worry. I already thought of that. I was like, these are covered in kid urine. So after
right off the bat, I love the disparity between Ryan's almost crime and Bobby's almost crime.
Well, hold on, because it gets more serious. So we throw all the balls into the van.
They're like, let's grab the kids, too.
We drive it to my buddy's house. Being the quick thinking one, I go, these are covered in urine, kid urine. Let's dump them in your pool and just push them around with a pool brush a little bit to clean them all off. We did that. We got a queen-size mattress, put it in the back of the van, tinted all the windows black, put a plywood barrier up right behind the driver's and passenger
seat. So now you have a van with a bed in the back.
Yes.
That looks like it's filled with bright-colored balls for luring children into. Yeah.
Well, the purpose of the bed is because otherwise you jump in the ball pit and you hit the hard ground. So you need some kind of padding down on the bottom of the ground. So we did that, and then you put a netting up from the plywood up to the ceiling. So now the driver's compartment is separated from the back pit, and we filled it with balls. And
you're building a child trap.
You were absolutely
building a child trap.
First of all, there's no kids allowed in this. This is for fighting, wrestling, and right, desperately trying to get laid.
If you get pulled over, the arresting officer does not know that.
Well, hold on to that thought. So we decide, oh my God, we just finished it. This was like a movie montage scene from like a 1980s movie, like us fixing up this van to turn it into a mobile ball pit. And we're like, what are we going to do? Well, obviously, we have to cruise around downtown trying to lure, like, be like, hey, ladies.
Right, right there. See that? See that?
Yeah, lure.
That word you use?
That's right.
Yeah.
Trying to lure young ladies into the van and be like, come on, guys, let's go. There's a mobile ball pit. Come on in here.
Jesus Christ.
And so
what is wrong with you?
We were 18. Who the fuck knows?
Mobile ball pit sounds like they would just call themselves when they're hanging out.
Oh, we weren't even 18. We were 17 at the time. And so we're pre-drinking at my buddy's place, and we get in the car, and we're ready to go, and we start heading out.
A ball pit's not fun. It's like a hot tub.
Dude, first of all,
disagree. I think
it is so much fucking fun, because the first thing we did is we got drunk and started wrestling in the back of it, and it was insanely fun, because you just hit the brakes, you just like float through this thing and fly around. It's so much fun. And at one point, we're driving, we're going about 40 miles an hour, and my buddy who's in the back pulls down the netting and throws one of the balls at us because he's shit-faced. I turn back and I start yelling at him because I'm in the passenger seat. And I'm like,
there's rules in the portable child trap.
Yeah, I was like, there's no rules back there. There's rules in the driver's compartment. I'm yelling at him because I'm like, dude, if one of those rolls under the brake or something, we're fucked. So don't just keep the balls in the back. That's why the netting is up. You just keep them back there. And he giggles and laughs. And then the next thing I see is a kaleidoscope of colors in front of my vision. And what he had done is used his foot to push down the netting and then used his body like a giant like spatula to flip like 150 balls into the driver's compartment. As the kaleidoscope of colors clears down, there's a parked car like 4 feet in front of us.
Oh, no.
We hit this thing at full speed, 40 miles an hour. It was...
Were you wearing your seatbelt?
The guy in the ball pit was fine.
I was. It was the most intense crash I've ever been in. It was fucking crazy. I've been in like 100 car crashes. This was the worst car crash I've ever been in.
Why have you been in so many car crashes?
I'm never the driver.
Well, you're very distracting, obviously.
Yeah, clearly. So we hit this thing so fucking hard that this Toyota Camry rides up on top of the van. So I am now looking at the undercarriage of it through the windshield. The back of the van goes up in the air because of all the momentum and then comes down and pops the back two tires. And as this huge loud noise settles, I'm looking at the exhaust system and underside of this Toyota Camry, which is now ridden up on top of us. I look over, my buddy who was in the back, his foot has actually gone through the plywood barrier. Ugh. And he's like sitting there, he's like, oh. My favorite line is, we're all just kind of getting our wits about us after this thing happened. And he, from the back, he goes, what happened? Because obviously he didn't see. He just threw balls in front and then had what felt like a fucking meteor strike hit him. And the driver just starts screaming at him. He's like, you happened. You fucking happened. What did you think? And he throws it in reverse. Slams on the gas, the Camry falls off the top of us, then he puts it in gear, slams on the gas again, and starts going. Here's the problem. When we hit that car, it smashed the bumper into the front left tire. The back two tires are blown out. So we're going on one tire and three blown out wheels. The engine is smoking.
Balls falling out.
Balls in the car. Yes, absolutely. So the balls are falling out. The engine is smoking like crazy, and huge plumes of smoke are coming out. So he's driving like Ace Ventura with his head completely out the window. He's got the pedal to the metal redlining it at 7,000 RPMs, and we're going 9.5 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to stop you right there. This is an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Season 7, episode 3. This is exactly what happened.
We pull off into a cul-de-sac. I grab all the booze that's in the car. I toss it into a trash can. Again, balls just leaking everywhere outside. I wanted to be like a fly on the wall of somebody looking out their window when this happened.
When a big ball pit crashed.
Well, what they'd see is like a 1991 Dodge Caravan with a dude hanging halfway out it trying to drive, smoke coming out as one wheel is screeching on the pavement trying to get it. A guy opens the door. A bunch of fun pit balls come out. He tosses a bunch of 40s in a trash can, jumps back in, and yells, "Gun it!" And so he does, and he guns it. But right about that time, we got approached by the posse that had formed of the house of the people who we had crashed into. So there was something going on. I don't know if they were having a party or something, but all of a sudden, there's a line of 5 cars behind us. And they're pissed. You can see them raging.
Oh, yeah. You sure?
Really? That's a shock.
Yeah.
That's so shocking.
And I'm talking.
What's their problem?
Yeah. And my buddy's sitting there. He's still doing the Ace Ventura thing, like hanging out the window. And I was like, "Bro, you got to pull over." And he was like, no, I got to get out of here. I'm drunk. I can't get pulled over. I was like, "Yeah, but who are we losing? Like, we're not.
Jig is up.
We're leading a parade at this point."
Yeah. And like, let's say we had a 200-yard head start on them and they didn't even know what street they were on. We are literally sending up a smoke signal that is just following us everywhere we're going at our slightly more than jogging speed. Yeah. Like, there is no way to get out of this. And so eventually he pulls over. I very much had to keep everybody from murdering him at that point. Like, the entire posse came up and livid. And so I was like, "Listen, it's fine. He's a kid. Just leave him alone. I'm so sorry. I get it. The cops are coming. Just let that happen. Just please." We had to let my other buddy, whose foot went through the wood.
We had to give them to the posse.
No.
That was a sacrifice.
We had to let him escape. We like didn't tell them that he was in there, and we like snuck him out because he was under the balls at the time. I like released his foot, and I let him see. He was going off to the Naval Academy. He couldn't get caught doing this shit.
Oh,
and so,
shit, yeah. And so, that would have been over for him.
Yeah, yeah. So we like snuck him out of the van and like into some bushes, and then he ran home. When the cops finally came, I'm jacked. Like, my shoulder is jacked from the accident because it was like a fucking 1991 car with their shitty seatbelts and stuff, and it feels like it was like partially dislocated. And I was sitting there and I was like, "Oh God," and I was like massaging my shoulder. Cop comes, they're interviewing everybody, they put my buddy in bracelets, and then they come up to me and they're talking about what happened. And obviously they have a lot of questions about why there's this mobile ball pit. And
what happened to the kids you kidnapped?
What questions do you have?
What was going on? And then he looks at me and he goes, that shoulder's hurting you, huh? And I went, yeah. But I noticed like a tone in his voice. I noticed the way he said, like he perked up a little bit.
It's like when a bully says, "Want a Hertz donut or
yeah,
something."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, he's like, "Oh, okay. Is that from the accident?" And I was like, no, man. I play football," which was a total lie. I didn't play football. I was like, "Yeah, I play football. I got injured. I'm just nursing this old football injury. It was too bad." And he looked at me and he goes, "You sure it didn't get aggravated by the accident or anything?" And I was like, "No, man, this is a total football injury. This isn't even where the seatbelt was on me. It was over here. So, no, I'm fine." He's like, okay. And he goes back in. I later find out that it's actually an adjunct felony if you injure somebody in a DUI.
Oh.
And so he was trying to get my buddy.
He's trying to trump up the charges.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So my buddy, who was already getting a DUI, it's a way bigger deal if somebody gets hurt. You get a DUI, even if it's a car crash, if nobody's hurt or whatever, it is one thing. It's one of those, you got to go to court. It's a big deal, kind of, but it's, you know, $10,000 of lawyer's fees and then blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and the person doesn't have to press charges.
Right.
Our friend, a female comic around town, her now husband got into a DUI wreck with her in the passenger seat, and she went to the hospital. She didn't want to press charges, but they're like, "Nope, too bad."
Yeah, 100%. So I didn't know any of this, but if I would have been injured in it, especially because at the time I was 17, he would have gone to jail, like legit jail. It was like this side moment in my head where I looked at the cop and I was like, something about the way you're asking me this makes me want to lie to you.
See, this harkens back to when the great ostrich caper. When
it was an emu caper, Dave.
When
don't.
You and Damien like, magically told the same story, even though you're separated.
Yeah.
If we can harness your telepathy and teach you to use it for good.
This was
of stealing ball pits.
This was just seeing that cop and knowing like something is up about the way he's asking. But think how different my buddy's life would be. He would have never gone to college.
Right.
He would have gotten screwed over. He would have a serious jail record. Like right now, there's a lot of people you know who have DUI things, right?
Right.
They don't have felony assault on a minor.
No,
you know?
No.
And
hey, he could be making a killing right now going to elementary schools giving speeches about like, "Hey, dude, you don't want to end up like me."
So, oh my God. I had a show on Thursday, and this guy I know was there with his girlfriend, who's a drunk mess, And
before she even got to the show, or did she get progressively drunk at the show?
I ran into her halfway through, so I don't know. Maybe she showed up that way.
She hurt my arm. I called the cops.
So anyway, this lady is I don't know either of these people that well. I just know they're together. And it's more of a friend of a friend situation. This girl is going around after the show trying to get it from any dude
What?
Yeah, she is going up being overly flirtatious to every single dude there.
But her dude is there.
Right there, right there. She's annoying Aaron. Like, Aaron's like trying to lose this chick.
Now, is she the kind of chick who wants her dude to get in a fight over her?
See,
or
that's
she...
what I don't know. So here's what's happening. And she did it to me too. Like,
or do they have some kind of agreement? Like, hey, if everybody's cool with it, that's a thing.
I didn't get the agreement vibe because as she's doing this, as she's like, I'm talking the whole, like, all the hits, like talking way too close to your face, leaving awkward pauses, like you're trying to make out with someone in front of all these people, touching people, overly touchy, saying things like, you're so hot. And usually fucking Aaron would flip out if she saw that happening to me, but she's like, better you than me. I've been trying to lose that chick all night. So then as this is happening, I'm shooting looks over to her man, and he's just got this look of just like, not sad, but like over it. Just fucking again with this shit. Like, this is an all the time thing. And like, that's the thing. Is that what she's going for? Is she trying to get him to fight? Or is she just that oblivious? She's like, he won't know if I'm trying to get boned right here in this bar.
That's just such a fucking horrible thing to do to another human being that you're supposedly...
That's a bad relationship. She should break up with her. Yeah. I mean, that's it.
That's kind of on him at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, but I mean, we're kind of blaming the victim in that case. But yeah, what a horrible thing to do to your partner who's like, I don't know, I brought you out to a comedy show. Like, seemingly a good dude in terms of like, hey, we're going out and having fun and doing stuff. I'm paying attention to you.
Yep, nope, not good enough.
No. Is she like that when she's sober?
I don't know her when she's sober, so maybe not. I've seen her out and about before, and she was doing pretty much the same thing.
Wow.
So, like, yeah, that's the thing. I think there is a section of people where they either have just utter disregard for their partner, or they want them to fight.
Or they're just being a fucking bitch to him. I mean, that happens. Like, just punishing him.
Yeah, she's like, he didn't do the dishes, so I'm going to get some cock.
Dude, no, one time I was on...
He ruined my ball pit.
It was... Dave, by the way, you would have loved the fucking ball pit. It was so much
fun.
Oh, yeah,
it sounds awesome.
It was so much fun.
This one time I was on tour. I was like 26, I think. And after the show, this couple and a bunch of their friends who live local were like, hey, we're going to after party at our house. You want to come with us? I'm like, fuck yeah. You know, I don't know anyone in this town. So I go back, and like while I'm there, the wife like sits on my lap and is like all but nibbling on my ear. Her husband's right in the room. He's right there. I'm like, are you sure that he won't mind? And she's like, oh, fuck him. I don't care. I'm like, I don't know what. And like, I look over at him expecting him to be shooting daggers at me. He sees me and just like shrugs his shoulders and like starts clearing dishes. I'm like, what is going on in here? And like, I understand some couples have that arrangement, but I don't think I could ever be cool with that. Like, no matter how many times you say, it's okay, you fuck my wife, I just couldn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just don't have that in my DNA.
Plus, it seems like that arrangement, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to go and like perform a trade, you have to get a baseball card in return. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be giving away baseball cards.
Wait, I was saying like Ryan.
Ryan should have showed up with a lady that he's swapping with.
Like Ryan bangs the wife and then the husband's like, okay, my turn.
All right. That works too. You're your own baseball card.
Oh, God.
To the ball pit mobile.
But yeah, you have to have something to trade in this transaction. He can't just be, you know, inviting you to his house and doing the dishes and you're banging his wife. Like, you got to... I don't know. You should have to mow the lawn or something.
I don't know what would have happened, but I got the fuck out of there. The vibes hilarious. Were suddenly becoming a bit uncomfortable.
That's the difference between 26 and 19, because at 19, you're like, well, let's go for it.
Well, I guess this guy might stab me. He might not, but there's some ass on the table here.
Also,
well,
I'm going to jump a guy on the way home.
Let's roll this guy. Oh, Jesus. Oh, dude, I had a bad experience at a show this past week. I was hosting at the Madhouse. I host sometimes on the weekends.
Bad week for comedy for you, huh?
Oh, my God. It was awful. It's like being a rookie again. So I was hosting. I host shows once in a while. It's fun to host. It's not super easy, but it's fun. You know, you try to keep that skill.
Yeah. I think it's one of the most fun parts of comedy because it's...
Keep that keep the skill set sharp, you know, just have fun with it.
Because a lot of it is making sure that the audience is where they need to be and, like, going up or going down or whatever. And one of the hardest parts about that is experiencing the show with the audience. Like, one of my favorite parts of being able to host is you get to make jokes about either the last guy's set or something that happened with the audience.
Right.
It's a live thing. You can't pre-write that. That's something that is happening in the moment, and it's kind of unique to that specific show.
Right. Now, I was hosting. I had a decent set. I mean, you know, you go up first. It's not always the easiest, but it was a decent set. Show's going on. All the comics going up, doing a good job. So now it comes to the headliner. Something about me, when I get nervous, I tend to forget easy information.
Yeah, same.
And it doesn't happen often. And I shouldn't have been nervous because I do comedy all the time. But I'm going to announce the headliner. I'm like, all right, you guys, make some noise for headliners. Come on stage right now. We just got back from touring for the troops in Afghanistan. You guys, keep it going for...
Oh, no.
A solid 2-second pause. The audience stopped because they were like waiting for the name. So now it is dead silent.
Wow.
It's a packed house. I look at the headliner. He's staring at me. I look off to the left in the back. All the comics are fucking laughing their asses off. It's now been like 4 or 5 seconds, which is an eternity.
Because the audience stopped not because they thought you forgot it, but because they thought you were doing like the Bruce
Buffer. They're waiting.
Yeah, they thought you were doing like, Tony Hedgman!
So I look back to the headliner, and he says, Tamara Kitaen.
Oh,
and I'm like, Tamara Kitaen. He wasn't just a comic. He's my friend who I've known for years, who I hang out with. And I fucking spaced on his name.
That is fantastic.
He had to tell me his name so I could say it into the microphone.
What do you think that is? What happened there?
Oh, my God.
To me, that's always interesting. Like, what's the neurology of that? Because that's not some random dude who's coming through that you didn't remember their name because you didn't memorize it enough or something. You know this person.
Yes.
You know who they are. You know them as an individual. What do you think happened in your brain?
That's your department. You're the scientist.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's so fucking interesting.
This happens to me not very often, but I always trace it back to the earliest, not the earliest, but like the most significant moment where I remember doing this. I'm like 17 years old, living at home. This was back when MTV used to show music videos and have contests where you'd call an 800 number.
Yeah.
So me and my sister would call every day and the phone would ring a million times. No one would answer. One day it rang like 50, 60 times. Someone picked up and I'm not expecting that. And so the person on the other was like, hey, your caller, whatever. What's your zip code? I'm like, and I could not remember my own fucking zip code. Like, that was the first instance where I'm like, this is weird that I forget things when I'm nervous.
Okay.
And it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. And I don't know
why. I think you just get up in your own head. It's almost like a game of Pong where or more of a snowball effect where you're like, oh, wouldn't it suck if I forgot this? Oh, fuck, what is it?
No.
Oh, no. Now it's even worse. How long have I not been talking?
I did that to myself because earlier in this same show, I almost forgot a comic's name. And I had to like say a few extra words to give my brain a second.
That's what it is.
So I set myself up for failure on Tamar.
Hi, you may know me. I'm Dave Callens.
I sincerely hope Dave is emceeing when Stormy Daniels comes through.
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
His name. All right, let's call the week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, Cruising with the Twos.
Yes, and please suck on this. Yeah, time passing by.
Motherfucking time is passing by.